Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. And yes, it is already October. I don't know where the summer went. We already through September. It is just flying by. I hope your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and healthy right now. And yes, we had another wild weekend in the world of football. Holy cow, college football is crazy. Florida State got upset by Virginia, who may have set the record for the fastest storming of the field in history. That was unreal. LSU still has offensive problems. They got beat by Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin was thrilled. Penn State still can't win a big game. They got beat by Oregon. And the Georgia Bulldogs apparently can't beat either speeding tickets or the Alabama Crimson Tide. They went down over the weekend as well. Over in the NFL, we saw upsets everywhere there too. The Pittsburgh Steelers upset the Minnesota Vikings in Ireland. Not sure how the Steelers are doing it. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even look good, but they've won a few games. The Atlanta Falcons beat up that banged up Washington Commanders squad. The Los Angeles Chargers, well, they found a way to charger. They're still fighting that Marty Schottenheimer curse, and they lost for the first time this season to Jackson Dart and the New York Giants. What in the world is going on? The Jacksonville Jaguars upset the San Francisco 49ers on the road, and the Green Bay Packers and Dallas Cowboys played a very high-scoring, exciting game that decided absolutely nothing as the game ended in a mind-numbing tie. How stupid is that? But hey, it isn't just football heating up. Major League Baseball has hit the best time of their season as well. We had wild card games starting yesterday. And get this, we have both the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers playing in the wild card round. Could either or both of them get eliminated? I don't know. It's possible. Hey, these playoffs are going to be fascinating to watch. Well, today on the show, I've got something extra special for you because I've got a guy that knows baseball and he knows it in a very up close and personal way. In fact, we have so much to cover today, we need to get over that right now.
Joining us this week on the Daily Dose, we have a very special guest. Because Jose Torres played professional baseball, and he played internationally as well. And now he is still involved in the game in a very unique, very different way. And I like what he's doing. Jose, welcome to the Daily Dose. We really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today.
Clint, appreciate the invite. Great having, you know, this opportunity. And, you know, actually, you know, I'll be very honest with you. This is actually my first podcast. Podcast ever. So, you know, this is kind of quite exciting to share some information, gather information, and just kind of feel whatever we got to talk about on air.
Well, you've got a lot of information to give because you are a busy, busy guy. So we're going to get to a number of things. I want to get to what you have going on now in just a few minutes. But first off, before we get to any of that, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
So I'm a Los Angeles kid. I'm an LA kid, the Cali kid. I grew up in LA. I come from an immigrant family, born and raised in LA, grew up. My dad actually had a choice whether we stay in the hood or move down to Corona, California. So he ended up moving up to Corona, California. So kind of got us out of a little trouble. So I think that was probably the best move my dad has ever made with us, you know, protect us, keep us, you know, in good hands and good environment. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So California has always been the place that I've always been brought up through and through.
Is that where you're still at now? Are you still in California?
I'm actually in Rancho Cucamonga now.
Okay, you're in Rancho.
Right, down the street from the affiliated from the Dodgers. So they're a low A team. So yeah. I'm actually right down the street from there. So Okay. Yeah, just kind of a new thing. My wife, you know, is from there, and we decided just kind of like to, I guess, to change, you know, and just kind of us together, and you know, everything's great. You know, shout out to my wife Miriam. Shout out to my little boy too, Rudy. My daughter, nice. Josie. So, yeah.
Very cool. What sports did you play growing up? Because I know, you know, our generation, It was just a lot more of like that playground mentality. Hey, I'm going to go play anything and everything. But what sports did you play growing up?
I actually was a very big football player. I was I liked football. Football and baseball was kind of the thing. Okay. When it came to my senior year, obviously, you know, I was pretty good at baseball. I think I was a better football player than a baseball player.
Really?
Yes. So I actually had a scholarship to go to Texas Tech to play football.
Oh, wow.
You know, my senior year, I had to make a big decision and say, hey, am I going to keep playing baseball or am I going to keep playing football? Obviously, in high school, I wasn't really that big. I actually ended up growing after high school. And baseball was the thing. You know, I ended up getting drafted out of high school. So out of high school, I got drafted and my parents said, hey, baseball or football? And I said, you know what? Let's choose baseball.
Yeah.
And that's what I actually did. So it was probably one of the best decisions that I ever made in my life. Economically, you know, just for myself of being a professional, that was probably one of the biggest accomplishments that I would probably have, not just for myself, but for my family.
Sure. Sure. Where'd you go to high school? You're in California. Centennial.
Centennial High School, number one ranked football team in the nation.
Centennial's pretty good.
Oh, yes, we are. You know, it's crazy that the dynasty started when I was actually a freshman in high school. Okay. That's where the dynasty started. I think we ended up winning CIF that same year. And it's just the continuance of just, you know, the sports down in Centennial or Corona Centennial, that is just not football. It's baseball. It's basketball. Yeah. It's just another world with athletes down there. And it's pretty cool to come back to that same school where I grew up at and see all the athletes that are coming in and out of there, baseball players, football players. You know, I see a kid, Jaden Walgreen. He actually just had an offer to Notre Dame. You know, it's just it's incredible to see these kids just be, you know, very guided through the right, you know, the right moments in their lives to be successful. You know what I mean? Especially myself, sure. I'm a product of that school. So seeing my alumni also be, you know, successful, and you applaud that. You always applaud that.
You had some great alumni coming out of Centennial. Who's the best athlete you saw coming out of your own high school when you were there?
When I was there in baseball, I would probably say, other than myself, now I'm just like, my brother was a big recruit. He actually went to USC.
Okay.
And baseball scholarship. You know, I majored in baseball. I majored in pinball and ping pong. You know what I mean? That's what I majored in. But my brother went to SC. There was a young man by the name of Mike Stadoka. He was actually the fourth overall pick in the 2000 draft.
Oh, wow.
By the Kansas City Royals. And that is, like, I think that was the reason why I probably even got any looks at the same time because of him. You know, sure. I was his catcher. Being so young and, you know, catching 95, 96 miles an hour, you're just kind of like, oh, it's unheard of, right?
Right.
Because so as a young kid, I was actually, when I first started high school, I was 13.
Oh,
I was 13 years old.
Okay.
I was. I graduated at 17 and a half. So at 13, I actually showed everybody that I can play. So they're like, hey, who's this?
You're one of those fall babies, aren't you?
I am November 20th.
Yeah.
So
that'll happen.
You know, if I was in school now, in high school, I would tell my parents to hold me back.
Well, they'd have brought you back. Yeah. That would be the thing to do now. It's way more popular.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't really understand these 19 and a half year old kids that are graduating high school. I know. Agreed. Cause okay. So what if, like, I have a daughter, right? Yeah. Shout out to my daughter, Josie. And I say, if that 19-year-old kid is going to take out my daughter to prom and she's 16, I see it a little problem, right?
Yeah, right? We got to put a stop to that. We can't have that.
So at least these kids are getting older. Obviously, the talent is there. They're getting older. But why do you want to pay full price for a used car is my question, right?
Right.
So, you know, I ran into some very great athletes. I would probably say that in football, there's so many in football. There's a guy that stands out to me a lot. His name is Brian Head. He was actually a fullback.
Okay.
He went to Stanford.
Oh, wow.
I said he was a little bit older than I was, but I just kind of looked up to him, how he played and how he did things. You know, a guy named Mike Bass. Shout out to Mike Bass. He actually has his own training facility now.
Okay.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of guys that I've been around with, football and baseball. They end up opening these facilities, you know, training spots, you know, sports specifics being like, you know, from prehab before rehab kind of stuff. So it's great to even just run into these guys. You know, some of my friends became videographers. you know, where they make videos and they know what to look for in certain videos, highlight tapes. So it's fun. But I would probably say those two, you know, including my brother, a lot of baseball guys, I would probably say that come out of there, you know,
Was there a team or an athlete as a kid, aside from your brother, was there like a specific team, college team, pro team that you were like, that's the team, that's the guy, that's who I'm following, that's kind of who that's like who I want to be someday?
So growing up, so I'm an 80s baby, right?
Of course.
So I think we all, as kids, we all wanted to, like in my era, I would probably say that everybody wanted to be Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
At the time. So everybody was Ken Griffey Jr. With the hat backwards and he brought the swag, right?
Of course.
And then all of a sudden, it was crazy because I go down to, I was actually at a 15U tournament and I was 11. I went with my brother.
Oh, wow.
And I was in Florida, Tampa, Florida, and the Rays were playing the Cleveland Indians at the time. And that was Manny Ramirez's team.
Yeah.
And Manny Ramirez, I was just like, man, I got to meet him. You know, we got on the field, like, how you doing? He gave me an autograph. And ever since then, I started wearing number 24 because of it.
Okay.
Just everything about this guy, like the way that I played, the way that he hit, how he took hitting so, so personal and so serious.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, I want to be like this guy when I grow up. And he was my guy, you know, trying to emulate his batting stance, you know, how he played. Everybody says like Manny Ramirez is such a goofball. And funny story about Manny Ramirez, the first time that I actually like spoke to him, like as an adult, I was down in Dominican playing winter ball.
Okay.
And I show up the first day, maybe about 6 a.m. I'm on a like red eye from California to Houston, Houston to Florida, like just this crazy flight, right? Just to get to Dominican. And I go down to Dominican and it's like 6 o'clock and I'm showing up to the clubhouse and I see, you know, music blasting some salsa or some merengue. Don't know what it was. And I hear the bat crack like maybe 4 or 5 times. And I try to peek in there and I kind of did. And it was Manny Ramirez with his team, just 6 a.m. and drenched in sweat. Drenched in sweat. And I kind of like, I didn't know anybody, you know what I mean? And I kind of asked the guy that was the player personnel guy. And I was like, hey, how long's he been here for? He's like, oh, he's been here about 2 hours. When I left this morning, he was hitting. So he played the day before. Went home, chilled out for a little bit, went back to the cage like 3-4 a.m. And then I come here and then he's still drenched in sweat. So I'm like, wow, what a guy, right? What a guy that takes. And obviously his numbers speak for itself.
That's why he is who he is.
That's why he's managed. So the best moment that I probably had when he became a Dodger, because go Dodgers. That's what we called each other and started wearing blue, right?
Well, yeah, let's go with that.
Right. So even I'm wearing the Mookie Betts hat. So,
you know,
the dad game.
We're trying to bring that. Okay.
So when he came to LA, you know, it just became so, so popular here in LA, right?
Oh, with
Manny Ramirez. It wasn't Hollywood. It was Mannywood.
Right.
Right. So it just became that kind of, but that's the guy that I emulated so much. You know what I mean?
Sure.
With football, man, I have a lot of guys, but my guy is Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Beast Mode.
Oh, Beast Mode was a problem. Lynch.
Yeah, even watching him in college when he went to Cal, yes. At the time, then he got drafted and he went to Buffalo, so he became a Seahawk. I was like, man, but it was kind of funny how I became a Seahawks fan. The Seahawks fan, so he got traded, right, from Buffalo to Seattle. One of my buddies, shout out to Heath Farwell also, he ended up going to Fresno State, a childhood friend of mine.
Okay.
So we kind of, you know, he got drafted and I just became Seattle fan because I was a fan of his, right?
Sure.
What he did with football and what he did, he actually went to the rival school that I went to, which was Corona High School. Yeah. Big powerhouse, CIF champions last year. Yeah. Pretty good at football at the time. And it just, everything just kind of like, it was a moment in my life where I said like, hey, I'm going to support the people that I support because I know them in a personal level. I don't care what team they play. He could have played for the Carolina Panthers, and I think I would have been a Carolina Panther fan, you know what I mean?
Sure. Jose, you get drafted by the Texas Rangers in the 2004 amateur draft. What is that whole process like? Because it would be different now. Now you'd be on TV, they'd be doing the whole... What was it like at that time? Because I can't imagine there was that much fanfare. What do you remember about being drafted by the Rangers?
So what I remember is I was in school, right?
Okay.
And I got a phone call. So my dad always told me, he's like, hey, if you want a cell phone, you're going to have to pay for it. And I was like, come on, Pop, let me get a cell phone. You know what I mean? Back in the bricks, you know, those Nokia bricks. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So I get a phone call at school and they say, hey, can you come up to the office? And me at the time, I'm like, oh, man, am I in trouble? What I do now, right? Am I not going to graduate? What's going on? So this is in June, right? June 4th. So I go to the office and I pick up this phone and it's a scout that I met before that he went over to my parents' house at the time. And he said, hey, like, congratulations. We just picked you in the draft. This is Todd Gugliano. I was like, oh, hey, what's going on, Todd? He's like, hey, can we meet today? You know, I want to make sure that I talk to your parents because you are still underage.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So that night I ended up, it didn't hit me until they announced it at the school. And they said, hey, congratulations to Jose Torres. He just got drafted, you know, by the Texas Rangers. Congratulations. So it became from being the guy that, you know, just kind of pretty good at baseball to like, oh, yeah. My God, like, let's go, you know, let's go.
Drafted, yeah.
Yeah. And I would probably say that's one of my biggest blessings, you know, in my life. You know what I mean? And,
absolutely.
You know, I never thought that I would be in this situation. I never thought that I would be, you know, having this opportunity to play, right? Because not a lot of people, you know, get it. And
no,
being in that position to represent something, it was pretty cool, you know. And when I got there, my first day, I got to meet A-Rod.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I would probably say, like, that guy. And again, I think a lot of, if you haven't never been in the system or in the clubhouse, you know, a lot of people talk a lot of about A-Rod. Sure. A-Rod is probably one of the most humblest people, like, that this guy's a professional.
See, that is interesting because that is not the narrative on the guy.
Oh no, but this guy is a professional. This guy takes care of a lot of people. And I remember, you know, I showed up, I didn't really have sponsors or apparel, you know what I mean? I show up, you know, just what they gave me. And he shows up and he goes, hey Rook, go ahead and go to my locker, there's a bunch of boxes, just grab you some stuff. I was like, you're talking to me? Like, oh, I'm like, wow. Look at, yeah. So I got, like, he gave me like a glove. He gave me like batting gloves. He gave me like all kind of, like, just, you know, different shirts, like there's A-Rod brand.
Right.
So it was quite, you know, it was quite cool to actually see that. And then watching him during spring training, how he went about his business. It sucks because he ended up getting traded.
Right.
He ended up getting traded to the Yankees for Alfonso Soriano. And then I got to meet Alfonso Soriano and he was cool too.
Oh, you know wow. What I mean? But, yeah.
So, yeah, so I got to meet him and it was kind of cool. And then just being around certain guys, you know, that I grew up watching, like Gerald Laird is a California kid too. And I watched him, you know what I mean? So it's kind of cool to see that, you know what I mean? To get that environment, like, and soak it all in, especially being in that position.
Yeah.
It was just great, you know, just learning and meeting people.
Sure. So you're a 17-year-old kid. Where do you go? What do you do? What is the first step? Everybody thinks about that. Oh, I get drafted physically. What did you do?
I was scared. I didn't know what to do at first. I was trying to follow my roommate now, or my roommate at the time, his name's Johnny Washington. He's actually part of the Angels coaching staff, big league staff. Okay. So he was my roommate. He was there the year prior.
Gotcha.
So he got drafted prior to me. So he showed me around and he was just kind of like a good teammate.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a car at the time. So he had his car there and he took me around and tried to show me everything that I needed to know. And, you know, he was just a great person, a great personality also that I learned so much from. So everything that I try to do, I try to gravitate to these guys that showed me the way, right? And paved the way before I did.
Right.
And I was scared shitless. I'm not going to lie. Yep. I was scared. Yep. Like, I was like, holy shit, what am I doing here? Do I belong here? Yeah. So I show up, you know, first day and I see, like, you know, catchers are on one side, infielders, second basemen, pitchers. And it's crazy because I look to one side and everybody that I see on this side, you know, 5-6 guys are just like me, shaped like me, the same like body structure. It's like they cloned all of us, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, holy, like, what am I doing here? You know what I mean? So it becomes like a rat race. It becomes like a free for all. Like, hey, like, you guys have to show me what you guys have or else you guys are going to get sent home, or you guys are going to be riding the pine, or you're going to be the bullpen catcher. You guys got to show me what you guys got. And I took it personally. I said, okay, cool. But there's a but. So my first day catching, you know, I forgot the kid's name. He's from Dominican, probably like some, you know, 16, 17-year-old that throws 100 miles an hour. And I didn't know how to catch. Or all of a sudden, I forgot how to catch. And Pedro Lopez was our manager. Scott Servais, Pudge Rodriguez were our Rovers. And I clanked probably the first inning when they threw me out there. I probably clanked like 12 baseballs in that first inning. That first inning took forever. It's probably the longest one inning that I ever played in my whole life. I just couldn't figure it out. Finally, right. You know, that year is when Major League Baseball implemented the hockey mask. You had to wear the hockey mask in minor league baseball. So I go up, and finally, I was this inning just finally ended. It felt like a day, but it was probably like 30 minutes, right? I just couldn't catch a baseball. Maybe because I was nervous. Maybe because I just didn't know how to do it. I don't know what my problem was. So I'm running back to the dugout, and my catching coordinator grabs me by the mask and says, "I'm going to send you the home, man. What did we waste our draft?" You know, back when you were able to do that, right?
Yeah.
As a kid, you don't realize what you, this is business, and it's
right.
It's big boy baseball. He snatched the mask, and he got really, really up close and personal to me. And then they used to chew tobacco, like not right. dip, but chaw tobacco.
Yeah.
So he's talking to me and spraying at the same time. He's telling me that he's going to send me home and F this and F that and you suck. And I was, as a kid, what do you say to that? You know what I mean? So, of course, I'm not going to lie. I got a little teary-eyed. You know what I mean?
Right.
It took me out of the game. So I'm like, man, what am I going to tell my parents? I've been here for a few days and I'm going to get sent home already. So he goes, "Hey, when we get done, go to my office." So finally the games get done, right? And I'm sitting there in my locker. I'm like, man, what am I going to tell my parents? What am I going to tell this person? Like, man, I couldn't even survive here. So he calls me into his office, and he's, you know, every coach at the end of the game starts typing a report. He sat for about 45 minutes of silence, just typing. And he would type, and then he would look up, and then he would type more, and then look up again. And I'm scared. I'm like, man, he's probably reserving my ticket to go home already.
Right.
Finally, 45 minutes later, he closes his laptop and he says, "Do you know why I'm on you?" And I said, "Because you hate me." He's like, "No, I'm actually very, very fond of you. It was my idea to pick you because I know how good you are." He's like, have you ever had instruction? And I said, "No." He's like, "Has anybody ever taught you how to catch?" I was like, "Mm-mm." He's like, "This is all natural. Like, I do this. Like, nobody's taught me." And he's like, "Well, I'm going to take 10 minutes out of my day to show you how to catch." And I said, "Oh, okay. What time do you want me here?" He's like, 6 o'clock in the morning for early work. Okay. I was there at 5:50, and then I was there at 5:40, and then I was there at 5:30. And that guy was there every single day throughout my whole career when I showed up to spring training or when I was in rookie ball to show me how to catch. And I became a pretty good catcher. You know what I mean? So playing that and playing the outfield, you know, it was fun. And just the teachings of these guys that actually been there, done that, you know, that's what I reflect on a lot. You know, you have a lot of these coaches these days that never even hitting a 90 mile per hour fastball, right. And they want a coach, you know, right. they're hitting instructors. And I was like, man, where did you play? What did you do? You're like, how am I? Like, I have a son, you know what I mean? My little homie, little Cito. That's what I call him. Cause he's like my little mini me.
Right.
And I say, like, a lot of your coaches, I get it. It's the time, it's voluntary and stuff like that. Right. But I do with myself is like, I try to teach them everything that I was taught, everything that the guys ever showed me, from rest in peace, Doc Edwards. That guy showed me how to actually do things. Mr. Bob Sharlock, which was my agent at the time, man, this guy would just, even he showed me how to dress. You have to be professional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just every moment that you do, you know what I mean? Obviously, yeah, being young and you go out and do all stuff, but at the same time, you want to be that guy that's learning and observing every, you know, every information that you get from these guys. Cause these guys are Hall of Fame. Britt Jacoby was my hitting instructor, hard hitting Mark Whitten. I'm like, these guys did it for 10 plus years
right.
and probably got that salary pension. You know what I mean? At the end. So I'm like, you know, I soaked it all in and I enjoyed every moment. I enjoyed it.
Hey, you played some pretty good baseball in the minors. You had some pretty good numbers. You go 746 on base plus slugging percentage. You're a really good base stealer. You had really good numbers in the field. What do you remember? What is the thing that still stands? What do you remember about those days riding the bus? What do you remember about playing in those days?
It was great. You know, when you take these road trips, I remember the longest road trip that I ever took was from Lincoln, Nebraska to Pensacola, Florida. So from
pretty good trip. Top,
that's a good trip. It was like 17, 18 hours, you know what I mean? So the first time that I show up, right, you know, everybody's dressed up to the T. I didn't have any clothes, right?
Okay.
And one of my coaches goes, hey, you know, there's a dress code that we do here. I was wearing jeans, we couldn't wear jeans. I didn't own a pair of slacks. I didn't own a jacket, like a sports coat, right? So it's just a learning experience. But the road trips, I love the road trips.
Yeah.
You know, I love like the fact that I got to go to places because of baseball. So it was great, right? It was great. It was an experience just to be on the plane or on the bus, you know, getting that that lifestyle road trip, you know, aspect of it that, you know, you had to pay your dues. You know, the higher level you get the planes, shorter trips. But it was great. I loved it every month. It's going to a different city every couple of days or every week. You know what I mean? That's what I love. You know, I even got to go to Japan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I went to Japan twice. You know, I faced Kenta Maeda in the WBC, like the pre-qualifying stuff.
Sure.
I faced Ohtani before he was here. Wow.
Yeah.
So it was an experience. Just it's great. I love the road trips. I love seeing everything that baseball got to offer me. And I was very blessed by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to go to some, because when you're playing minors, you're going to some different places.
Yes.
Was there a town? Was there a city? Was there a place that you went that you were like, I don't know why, but I love playing there. Every time I go there, I love it. Was there a certain city that you just loved?
So many of them. But I would probably say, just because like I've never experienced at the time, obviously coming from California, that Southern hospitality, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It was Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Shreveport, Louisiana. I remember, you know, when we had Sunday games at home. They'd always have like a cookout for us after the game for everybody, like all the boosters, it's just a big old spread. I learned how to eat crawfish. I was like, how do you do this? You know what I mean?
Right.
So all this, yes, very, very different. A culture clash, I would probably say, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very, very much. You take a kid from California, doesn't know much, and then you throw him into this environment. And, you know, it was kind of like, cool, you know, and they made me feel so at home. Very supportive fans. Whether you go 4-for-4 or 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, they loved you no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their kids admire how you played and, you know, they want to be just like you. And then you see this little kid that you don't even know wearing your jersey. Right.
Wow. Yeah.
So I love being there just of the atmosphere and how people treated me. The place that I love hitting was in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
I don't know why I love playing at that field. Maybe because the wind blows out. So any little pop up, it's going out. Right.
Yeah.
But I just love playing there. Like I saw the ball, like everything slowed down very, very, very much.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, things.
And that was a great. Yeah. You know what I mean? From everything was just so great in Texas. And obviously playing for Texas, you know, it's like, man, I just hope. And then the stadium was right down the street.
Yeah.
So we would play and then I would drive by it. I was like, man, I'm going to get here one day. I'm going to get here one day. So it was pretty cool. You know what I mean? Just to experience that, you know what I mean? Just that high level, you know, baseball that everybody wants to do the same thing that I want to do. And that's play professional baseball, but be a big leaguer, an established big leaguer.
How many years did you play minor league ball?
11.
11 years. Wow. You put time down there.
11 and then 6 in Mexico.
Okay. We're going to have to go to the 6 in Mexico because you did go, you play internationally. How did that come about that you even went down there to play?
So when I got released from Texas, you know, obviously like, you know, it just comes, you know, I battled injuries. Was I good? Yes, I was pretty good. I was very, but I battled a lot of injuries. It's hard to be a catcher, right? It's hard to be playing every single day, you know, and back in the day, the training services, now it's like they care about you icing your arm or getting, you know, treatment before. Yeah. If anybody ever found you in the training room, in the locker room, you're hurt. You know what I mean? You couldn't do that back in the day.
Yeah.
You couldn't sit because then all of a sudden you get replaced really, really, really fast. So when I got released, I got a phone call. I was going to go play independent league, right? I was going to go and play independent league, which I did. And I didn't like it. I didn't like independent league because they treat you like shit.
Yeah.
And then there's no money in it, right?
Okay.
The clubhouse sucked. Just everything just about independent. And like now it's different, right? It's very, very prestige now independently.
Okay.
When I played it was not that great, right? Gotcha. It was shit. So I played in a independent league and I said, you know what, this isn't for me. So once the season got done, after I got released, I get a phone call from Mexico. And that phone call from Mexico was actually one of my buddies' dad was the owner or the GM of the team.
Oh, wow.
Hey, okay. I heard you got released. Like, you want to come play winter ball this year? I was like, sure. So I go down to Veracruz, Mexico to play my first winter ball, right?
Okay.
And I loved it. Loved it, man. Like, I just, it was a party in the stadium. people just having a great time drinking beer. You get a whole 24 pack for like $20. You know what I mean? In the stadium. Obviously, you pay what, $25 for one beer at the stadium now these days, right?
Right.
So I go down there and I enjoyed it. I wasn't a number. I felt important in that way. I felt like I was at home, right? Obviously, my dad's from Aguascalientes, Mexico. Okay. So I kind of knew what was going on. You know, I've been to Mexico plenty of times to visit family. And it just became kind of like, man, I want to go back. So I went back and I loved it. You know what I mean? So fast forward a little bit from playing my first year in winter ball in Veracruz, Mexico. And then a team during the summer signed me, which was the Indios de Juarez. So I'm in Juarez, Mexico, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh man, like what did I get myself into? Right. That's right. The GM. His name's Daniel Cereceres. Everybody calls him Chito. He's not the owner anymore, but before. So my first real season in Mexico, it was quite an adventure to that one, and quite scary also.
You're gonna have to expand on this. Come on, what do you got?
Okay, so check this out. So I go by, I think it was like I was 1 week in, and they're telling us, hey, this is the gym that we go to. Hey, if you guys want to eat for free, you go to these restaurants. Like, these are our sponsors. So they took very good care of me.
Yeah.
So me and my roommate, Mario Barraza, so we're going, he was a big, like, head, like, lifter. He was one of our trainers, right?
Okay.
And he was very into fitness, very, very into fitness. I think he was like Mr. Mexico. And he kind of showed me how to prepare my body in a different way that maybe in the States I didn't, right? Like, this is what you have to do if you want to last. It's hot here. It's not like here over here. So everything from nutrition to getting in shape, right? So I'm going out of this gym and I actually get a gun pulled out me. I was mistaken by, so obviously, like, I stand out very, very much in Mexico, right? I'm obviously tatted up and, you know, I'm maybe 6 or a foot, you know, taller than everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I stand out like a sore thumb, and maybe as a cartel guy, I don't know who this guy was. And he sticks a gun at me and my trainer, and he goes, hey, you're this guy. Hey, you're this guy. And I'm like, hey, hold on, bro. This isn't me, man. This isn't me. And he's like, oh, your name is this. I'm like, nope, let me reach for my pocket, man. Like, you're mistaking me. I had my head down the whole time. And he's calling like some people. He's like, yeah, I got him right here. Right. What do you want me to do? And I said, hey, hold on, bro. Like, this isn't like, I think you got us mistaken. We're not even from here. And he turns me around and he's like, where are you from? I was like, I'm from California, man. I come here to play baseball. And then he's like, well, you look like a baseball player. What's your name? And I was like, Jose Torres.
Yeah.
And I'm against the car with my hands up like this. Right. Okay. And I'm like, can I reach for my wallet and give me my wallet? I can show you who I am. Cause he was calling me, I don't know. I think I turned pale at that time and I forgot a little bit of it when I was going, right? When you get held up at gunpoint. So what saved my life that day was a billboard with my picture on it and two other guys. Or else we wouldn't be having this conversation right
now. Oh, wow.
So the guy tells me, he's like, oh, you're the guy that they just got from the Texas Rangers. I'm like, yeah, I'm a baseball fan. I was like, baseball fan? I was like, man, I just got held up. I was like, I don't know what you do, bro. But like, yeah. And then me being a nice guy, I was like, hey, like, we got a game tonight. Would you like some tickets? He goes,
oh, no way.
Put me down for 12 tickets. Can you do that for me? I was like, I'll give you 100. I don't care. You know what I mean? So this guy, it's kind of crazy because this guy goes over there. And he, like, I was just like, you know, I was telling the owner and the manager, I was like, hey, this is just what just happened to me. He's like, oh, you got to stay away from these guys. And I was like, well, I don't know who. I was walking out of the gym.
Right.
He's like, so what'd you tell him? And I was like, I told him that I was giving him 12 tickets. And then he's like, okay, what's it? I was like, what, did you get his contact? I said, yeah. And he's like, so he contacted him and he set up the whole, like, just the whole, like a box for them, right?
Oh,
him and his crew.
Wow, you hooked him
up. So he set him up. Yeah, hooked him up, beer, food, just everything, right? So we're in, you know, in the middle of like a playoff game. So this is like my first week that was there. He ended up showing up and we became like really, really cool, right? And I guess he was just kind of like a dude. And then fast forward at that same year, we're in the playoffs.
Okay.
We're tied 3-3 in the playoffs. Like if we win game 7, we're going to the championship, right? So I guess in Mexico, they do a lot of betting there inside the game, as in like,
the game, yeah.
You know, my rival town against your rival town. Let's bet who's got the better one, who's got the bigger one. Put everything out on the table and see who's got shit, right?
Right.
So I hit a home run. We're down four to two in the eighth, bottom of the eighth. We're home. And I hit a 300 home run. And in that three, so I hit a bomb, right? So we ended up winning 5-4. Hit a 3-run bomb. And I don't even know. Everything just, it's a blur, and just how people act there. You know what I mean? In a Mexico game, it's like 35,000 people just screaming, drinking, party. You have a live band in the middle of the stadium playing all the and everybody dancing. You know what I mean? So I hit a bomb. We're celebrating and we're doing everything. We're going back in the three outs. We go to the championship, right? So I'm sitting in my locker, taking off all my gear and just kind of like, you know, just playing it cool. You know, like, hey, I've been there, done that. You know, just like, hey, just another day at the office, right?
Right, right.
This gentleman, I'm like, oh, shit, what's going to happen now? This gentleman, big gentleman, he's probably like 7 foot tall, just a big dude, taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, great job. And I turned around and I said, thank you. He's like, you're Jose Torres, right? He's like, my boss wanted me to give you this. He hands me a manila folder with $5,000 and a couple of baggies of cocaine.
Oh, my.
A couple of baggies of cocaine. And I said, I am in Juarez, Mexico right now. He's like, hey, my boss. He did. And then he's like, hey, my boss wants to talk to you. I'm like, oh, like, am I in trouble again? I'm brought to the principal's office.
Right, right.
This guy, the nice, I don't care what he did or what he does. This guy was the nicest guy I've ever met. And he said, like, hey, I'm a big fan of yours. And thank you for, we were betting against the rival town that you played. You know, I just want you to appreciate it, man. And I was like, all right, cool. And I had an extra jersey that I ripped, like the series before, that I just kind of had to like, just kind of like let it go. I was like, all right, I need a new one because it just ripped on the side from my gear. So I ended up signing that jersey and I gave it to him. And this guy was like just kind of like starstruck, right? I was like, man, I'm sure you've dealt with more important people than myself. So ever since that day, this guy, and every single year that I kept going, you know, to Juarez to play, he just took care of me. Everything that I needed. Hey, do you need a car? And then there would be a car right sitting right in front of me. Hey, like, we brought you some food. We brought you this. We brought you that. Like, hey, do you need a Gatorade? I was like, yeah, I bring a Gatorade. He didn't bring me like one Gatorade. He would send like his worker to give me a Gatorade. He would bring me like a whole case of Gatorade. Yeah, right. It's just like everything that I ever wanted or needed, like, he gave it to me. You know what I'm saying? And I think he saw the different, you know, kind of player that I was. I stayed, you know, late to sign every kid's autograph or sign their baseball or sign their jersey, take pictures. I always took time to do that. And that's what I loved about Mexico. Mexico, they loved you. They didn't like you. They loved you. If you perform at a high level, those people are so faithful to you, but they expect you to be like, it's called ganas. It means like the grit, the grunt. They want you to show that when you play. And I think I won over that city of Mexico, man. And I still go these days and people still recognize me. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
holy, that was how you were living the Kenny Powers life.
Of Kenny Powers 2.0.
I play real sports. Not trying to be the best at exercising.
But I'm better looking. That's why.
By far. By far. Yeah. That
eastbound
is
and down. Eastbound and down. Yeah.
You had that some good days down there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Very great days and very like interesting moments in my life that I never thought that I would be a part of. Right.
Sure. I would. But
it's like stories and stuff like that you get to share with these like kids or my you know, my parents. I would tell my dad, you know, this is what happened. And they would like kind of like be like, that happened to you? I was like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Wild.
I mean, what do you want me to say, man? What, like, this is the life that I chose, and this is the life that, you know, that I pursued a baseball career in Mexico, and it was great. I just learned a lot, like, what not to do, right?
No, I'll bet that you did. And there's some beautiful women down there that you're living the life. That life is good down there. Holy cow.
Oh, life was really good. I even, you know, I had some pretty good luck with the women, and I actually dated Mrs. Playboy Mexico.
What?
For a while, yes. Can we give out names here so that people can look them up, right?
I mean, they're going to try.
Okay, so let's shout it out. Well, we're in the Daily Dose, so we'll give them a daily dose of what they
all
need.
All right, give them that so daily
her
dose.
Her name is Tania Reza.
Oh, no. Everybody turned the podcast off. They're literally searching right now in their, their hidden browser.
Tania Reza, T-A-N-I-A, Reza, like pray, R-E-Z-A. They're going to be praying that I should have kept her.
You dated this girl for a while?
I did date that, but it was a time in my life where I was single. I wasn't, you know, committed to anybody. So right, I was I was doing the celebrity Mexico thing that you were the man, you were the guy. So obviously a lot of people gravitated towards what it is that you did, right?
Yeah.
And I loved it. Sure. Come on. I'm not that bad looking, right? And I had good luck. I have good luck with baseball. Good luck with women.
So
I did.
You played there, and your playing career ends. And what do you do? Like physically, what are you doing when your playing career ends? Do you have a plan? Do you know what you're going to do? Because, you know, people always talk about, oh, I want to make it here. I want to do this. Cool. But best case scenario, you're done at like 30 and then you've got a lot of life to live. What did you do when your playing career ended?
So I retired in 2018.
Okay.
The reason why I retired, I think that I didn't want to get my last year that I played. I was actually the MVP of that league.
Wow.
I think at that time, I felt like I didn't have to prove anything anymore, you know, especially on top. I didn't get pushed away. I think that's the worst thing that a player can do is get pushed away and just kind of like, we're just kind of like die out and just kind of like whatever, right? And I told myself, I'm going to retire when I know that it's the right time. So I retired 35 years old. And I was like, okay. But obviously, I needed to be a father. I think that was one of the reasons why I wanted to retire. Not because I got pushed out or wasn't good enough. As like you want different things. You live this whole life and you want to keep the dream going. But I think for me, I knew that I had to do. I prayed on it. I understood my situation of what I needed to do as myself, as a retired baseball player, what I needed to do now. You know, it's like the first chapter of your life to the second chapter of your life of being normal, because I'd never been a normal kid. So how does that work out for me? It sucked when I retired. You don't have an identity. I didn't have a plan. What do I do? What do I say? How do I pursue this? I don't know. So I started working with kids. I started working, giving instruction. So basically every teaching and everybody that's ever taught me how to play baseball, I work with the youth. I've coached, you know, numerous, countless kids. You know, we're actually in the, I call it the dungeon.
Yeah.
You know, the cage that I work at. You know, I started doing that. And it, like these kids, like I've had a kid that I worked since he was like 12, you know, off and on the season, I'd come back home and work with him. Just kind of like his summer program. And I'm in my off season, right? Like say like right now, the season's over in the minor leagues. So I started working with these kids and, you know, I made an okay living off it. You know, it's getting paid for your services as a hitting instructor, as a catching coach.
Okay.
And I started doing that. And then, you know, I have this kid that gets drafted. His name is Damon Keith. He got drafted by the Dodgers. And I know this kid since he was 10, 11 years old. And I worked with him. And I said, wow. And then my dad was like, wouldn't it be kind of cool if you like, you have the upper hand on everybody. You get these kids very, very young. Why don't you start representing players? What are you talking about? Right. He's like an agent, an agent. And I said, let me think about it. I didn't know what that, you know, what he was trying to tell me.
Sure.
So I started talking to my old agent. I started talking to the people that are in the industry and I got my break. And I started working for a company called Paragon International. I started working for them and I started being like the rover. So I was kind of like, obviously you got to pay your dues wherever you go. I would be here. I would be there. I would find players. You know, I would like recommend like, hey, this guy's going to be a good one. Like, I think you should sign him as your client, you know, too. And these guys get drafted. And then all of a sudden from Addison Barger from the Blue Jays, I worked with him, you know, with Dylan Hasso. Actually, his dad was a teammate of mine.
Okay.
So it's like, so I started calling people, started doing my homework on everybody. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm working for this company and I left the company because of X, Y, and Z, right? So I caught my big break with the company that I have now. It's called SSM Sports Management.
Okay.
So I went from a situation where I was at and my old company to this new one, to this business venture where I became a partner. So my first client was Sandy Leon, or is Sandy Leon. Big leaguer with the Braves right now.
Big leaguer with Braves, yeah.
So that is my first client. Holy so I had a pretty good. Have you ever seen Ballers on HBO with The Rock?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my company right there. Like if you see that whole series, like thought out. If you actually see it from the first episode to everything right now, we're basically in the first season. That's what it is, and I just loved it. You know, from dealing with agents and dealing with owners and winter ball contracts. And it's like, it's crazy because they want to speak to me in English and I'm very fluent in Spanish also.
Okay.
So then they look at me and they're like, man, you speak Spanish? I was like, yeah. So I started dealing with a lot of these international guys. you know, seeing some guys that I can, or they can gravitate towards me because I was that player. I was that player that needed help. I needed like how to negotiate a contract. I didn't know how to do that.
Sure.
So I give these guys all the info. So he's like, hey, well, what if I made money doing this? Right. And I did. So Savvy's my first guy. I actually signed Silvino Bracho. He played in the World Baseball Classic for Team Venezuela. He's the one that I think it was the seventh inning from the last classic. He struck out Trout. He struck out Goldschmidt. And then he got Mookie Betts to pop out. So him, Jose Quijada from the Angels. Do you remember that World Baseball Classic where his jersey was coming off? So he's one of my other guys right there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we have like this whole market of just like guys that we take care of. But I don't want it to be so big. I want to pay attention where I can have a relationship with all these guys. So that's what life after baseball is now, is be a sports agent.
On a day-to-day doing that job, day-to-day, what kind of things are you doing? What's typical day look like for you?
Okay, typical day. Let's just say right now. If you look at my phone right now, I have, as we speak, we have 76 phone calls and 120 messages unread.
Oh, no. This is too much.
Can you see that right there?
I can. That's a lot.
That's a lot, right? And right now, Sandy Leon texted me right now. And then Jonathan VR texted me right now. And I was actually quite starstruck that Albert Pujols sent me a message the other day because he's into coaching. Yeah, I was like, Albert Pujols just texted me. And I told my dad, he's like, look at this. He's like, why'd he text me for? I was like, he's coaching now. So I'm trying to send him some players to him. So that's my every day to day. It's phone calls. Obviously, there's like, I have a player. His name is Leonardo Tavares. Shout out to Big Leo. Leo is a kid that is with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's between the big leagues, 40-man roster, and AAA.
Okay.
It throws about 101. Just wants to look for opportunity to get to the show, right? Yeah. So he lives in New York. So obviously in California, New York is 3 hours difference, right? So when it's 9 o'clock there, it's 6 o'clock in my time, right?
Right.
And he calls me. And sometimes, I don't know, for some reason, he decides to call me like at 7:30 his time, which is like 4:30 a.m. my time. So so my phone is always ringing. My phone is always, you know, that's just what it is.
You're nonstop.
I'm not. I don't stop. I think that, you know, I was taught a very good process of time management. You have 24 hours a day. You work for 8. You sleep for 8. So what do you do with those other 8 hours that you have? You know what I mean? So I try to put that 8 into that other 8 that I have free, and that work-life balance between everything that I do when it comes to these players, you know, and even with the kids now, you know what I mean? I still train these kids. Like, so my son he plays. So I'll grab him in the cage and I'll get some of his little buddies or kids that just want hitting instruction or, hey coach, can you throw me some extra BP? And I do that, but that, because that's the part of that I want to be part of my son's life, where if I did miss a lot of stuff when he was young, now I get to be a part of that.
Sure.
Plus he sees me. And he thinks he's pretty cool because he gets to hang around with all these guys, right?
Of course.
Like the other day, I met up with Hunter Green. Hunter Green, baseball player, YouTube sensation, Instagram. I think his handle on Instagram is 100. And he does a lot of videos, baseball content.
Yeah.
And I got to meet him the other day, and my son, you know, is a fan of him. So, you know, he talks to him. He sends him like batting gloves. He has apparel. So it's pretty cool to actually be like part of that scene where it's not all about me anymore. It's about everybody else. And I put everybody else first. And I think that's where we gravitate with all these players, you know, from Ryan Smith, which is, you know, the guy, the main dude.
Sure.
And he showed me so much of a 3 hour conversation from driving from Dallas Fort Worth to Round Rock in Texas, you know, 3 hours of just schooling me and what should I do and what's. And always it's you want to learn all this process, but being an agent is pretty awesome. It's kind of like what I'm trying to do right now is get a seat at the table. And it's a lot of margin of error that you can do, but there's also good stuff that you benefit from it. Right.
Well, and especially having lived through it, you can look at it and say, hey, I know what I dealt with, and I know things are always changing, but to a degree, some things kind of stay the same. You have so much that benefit of that knowledge from when you went through it. Hey, here's what you guys aren't going to know. And here's something that I wish someone had told me. You have to have just a ton of that.
Yeah. It's just like the knowledge, you know what I mean? Even like with college recruitment these days, I mean, you know about college recruitment, right? Everybody just everybody claims that they know everybody. Everybody claims that they know somebody in the system or whatever.
Yep.
But it's better when you actually lived it, because you make it's not even the networking that you do with people. It's more of like the, hey, these are my friends. These are people that I know personally. This isn't just like, hey, who are you? No, these are people that are like, hey, man, I remember you. You played, you know, this year here.
Yep.
So just it's more of like just being part of this culture that makes you want more every single time. Right.
Sure.
And helping these guys out is a thrill of mine. You know what I mean? When these guys are successful, I'm successful. But the moment that these guys aren't successful, I take that personally. And I say, okay, what could I do better so you can be in a better position to be successful? So I always put them in the front line and say, like, hey, this, I'm going to give you everything and show you my support for you. Like, you don't have to all you have to do is just play ball. All the other stuff, the cleats, the merchandise, and you need new Oakleys and this and that. Don't worry about that. I got you on that one, but I need you to perform. So now it's this guy, it's that guy. Now you make a name for yourself.
I notice you're in your dungeon there, and I'm seeing a lot of jerseys behind you. I'm seeing a lot of flags behind you. What do we got going back there? You got a lot of stuff going on behind you. What do we have?
A lot of these stuff that I have put up is kids' jerseys. And let me turn you around. So they're plastered all over them. They're plastered all over. So, and then the flags, obviously you can see up there.
Yep.
So I have a deal with all these kids. When they come in here, when they're worthy that they can be in here and show me discipline, show me good grades, show me, you know, attitude, show me just the good stuff that coaches and scouts look at.
Yes.
When I see that you've developed into this young man and you're maturing, your jersey gets up there. The consistency of like what you do. Obviously, how you learn how to do something is it's consistency, it's repetition, but doing it correctly.
Yep.
So I have about 65 kids to my name.
Okay.
And these kids come from every background, culture, countries, their parents. So when they get really, really good and they show me, they get a flag. So they can represent where they're from. Obviously, like I have we were speaking about this right now. I have a kid, his parents are from Lebanon. He's Lebanese.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I have a Lebanon flag, and everybody's like, dude, like, what? Like, who's Lebanon? So everybody starts asking, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's this kid. So this kid that I have, he didn't know how to play baseball. He came to me like when he was like maybe 8, 9 years old. He didn't know how to play baseball. Okay. Both parents are doctors. And he played soccer. And he said, like, hey, the dad came up to me. He actually sent me a message on Instagram, and he said, hey, can you teach my kid how to play baseball? I heard you're really good. And I said, yeah. First day I saw him, I was like, holy shit, what am I doing?
What did I get myself into?
He didn't even know how to hold a bat.
Oh, no.
Now he's going to the University of Cal Baptist University.
Wow.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is the stuff that I like to like, because it's I always tell my kids, you know, even my own, I tell him, I want you to be better than me.
Yeah.
Better than me consists of you signing a contract and making millions and millions of dollars. That's what I want for you.
Sure.
So every kid gets a stamp of approval, something to work out for. First you get your jersey, and then you get your flag. So I have flags all over, from Mexico to Panama to Canada to Puerto Rico to the Dominican to Spain, South Africa, Korea, Japan. Like, that's what we do. And I have them all shapes and sizes. And that, it is pretty cool because they all want to be here. This is like their time away from the BS, the bullshit that they go through every single day.
Sure.
Because mom's mad at you, because dad's mad at you, because your girlfriend's mad at you. It doesn't matter. You come here and you work. You forget about that for that hour. You work, you sweat, and then go back and try to fix it. That's it.
Absolutely. Going with what you have now, you're training, you're an agent. Looking back at you as a player, you're 17, you're just getting to that level. What would you have told yourself if you could have talked to yourself then?
We're on the daily dose, right?
Yes.
Free for all. I would say, fuck the world, man. That's what I would say. The world, like,
stop,
don't worry about
anything else.
Like, I don't want to hear about bullshit. Like, I have, like, my buddies call me all the time, and if you're not talking to me about how am I going to better myself, or if we're not talking about business or money or how we're going to make moves, don't call me.
Right.
I don't want to hear anybody. I don't want to hear no gossip. I don't want to hear because of this and this. No. I don't want to talk because you're wasting my time. That's what I would tell my, stop worrying. Don't worry about it. Worry about your career, because at the end of the day, it's your career. The person that's going to hit is you. The person that's got to go play defense is you. The person that's going to make money is going to be you. And it's all you. But it's like a piggy bank. You put 1 cent, 2 cents, 3 cents, and all of a sudden you got 100 pennies, you got a dollar. And then you put a dollar, 100 times, and then there's $100. And then you put $100 100 times, you know, it starts developing this whole new mindset that these kids are very failing at that. They all feel like they're entitled.
Right.
And that's what I don't want to do with this youth generation, especially the kids that I have. You know, these guys don't know better. You know, parents sometimes don't even know better. You know, I think that a lot of parents live vicariously through their kids.
Yep.
You know, where it's a business. Yes, I understand it's a business, but there's nobody looking at your 10-year-old son. Like he's chubby and he smells like pastrami. He doesn't even know how to shower correctly. There's nobody looking at you.
No.
It's when it's in high school when you got to perform. You know what I mean? To get to that bigger, better, you know, stage in life that you want that to happen. But
for sure,
you know, these parents don't understand. But a younger self of me, I would do things very, very differently.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't have that guidance. I didn't. I wish I had a person like myself.
Exactly.
To teach me all the stuff that I would be doing. So I think that's why kids gravitate towards me. You know, they gravitate towards the teaching, not just in here, it's business, but outside of here, it's still family. They all have my personal number. Hey, call me if you ever have something. I've had kids call me because they break up with their girlfriends. I've had kids call me because they have bad grades. Hey, how can we do to fix it? Let me help you out with your homework.
Right.
My son always tells them, can you help me? Yep. I would be dog tired getting off a plane and I would be like, what do we need? What do we need to do? Because that's the, you know, when you matter, they tend to respond different.
Yes.
You know,
no, you're 100%. You're 100% right. Kids don't grasp until they realize how much you care about them.
Yep.
And then it starts to trigger something in them and they go, oh, I didn't really realize that. That makes a huge difference. You know, it's funny. You talked about getting off a plane and I've got to give my own shout out here because Mrs. Dose was getting off a plane and she happened to run into you. And I'm so glad that she did because she goes, Clint, you got to talk to this guy. You got to have him on the show because it's not just that he went and played. It's not just that he's got great stories, which you do, but he's working with kids and he's giving kids the things that they actually need, not giving them the stuff that sometimes kids think they know what they need. They don't. We're the adults. We're supposed to do the adulting. And she goes, you got to talk to him because he's telling kids what they need to hear. It's not always nice. It isn't always, like I said, what they want to hear. But it's what they need to hear. And she's actually the one that put this together. But I am so glad that she did because, you know, I say it all the time on the Dose. Kids are kids. And adults usually, if they're involved, screw things up for the kids. So when I actually see an adult doing things that's helping kids, like you are, I want to have them on and give not just some recognition, but hey, there might be a kid out there that needs to hear this right now. It says, hey, that's a guy I could work with that is going to help me. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate we had some technical difficulties on another episode. We're getting through those. So I appreciate you coming back and sticking with me on that. But I cannot thank you enough for being here. Let me ask you this. What is the best way for a listener to find what you're doing, to find what you have going? Where can they find you? Are you on social media platforms? Do you have a website? What can they do?
So I do have Instagram. I don't really do the Snapchat or TikTok stuff.
I keep myself
very basic. I think the basic stuff.
Yes.
So if anybody was looking for me on Instagram, go to _agent.24_. Or you can search me up by my name, Jose Torres. You know, a lot of people, you know, I have quite a few followers, especially now becoming an agent, you know, and what's crazy is even though I have a lot of big leaguers that are on my social media or guys in the minor leagues, so they follow me also and they see my content that I post up and I give shout outs to these kids, especially I had a kid, you know, this is last year, seniors that are freshmen this year. You know, I had 5 kids this last year commit to division D1s.
Okay.
Like kids that shout out to Brock Cross. He's at the University of Washington. Oh no, excuse me. Washington State. Sorry. Brock Cross, Damian Casas. He's at Fullerton, Cal State Fullerton.
Big time baseball school.
Gavin Garcia. Gavin Garcia is going to the University of Nevada.
Ooh, another good one.
You know what I'm saying? So another good one. Mike Espimir, left-handed pitcher. He's going to the University of Stanford. And Tyson Bobo. That's the one that's still kind of up in the air right now, but he's a senior this year. It's either UCLA or the University of San Diego, USD. So those are my 5 guys this year.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, those are results. Say what you want. Those are results in black and white that you sit there and go, no, they're moving on to bigger and better things. That is outstanding work that you're doing there. I absolutely love that. All right. I'm going to put you on the spot, Jose.
I haven't
prepped this question, but I'm going to put it out there because, hey, this week we've got wild card games going in Major League Baseball. Break it down. Who's winning it all? I need a team from the American. I need a team from the National League. Who's going to the series? Who's winning it all? I see you got Dodger Blue on. Are you believing in the Dodgers? Are they going to get healthy enough to do this? Give me your pick. What do we have?
Where's my Dodger? There's my Dodger flag. There it is. You know what? To tell you the truth, I love the Dodgers. I grew up Dodger Blue all day, every day, from Fernando Valenzuela to Scully. So my dad's probably going to kill me if I say this, but go Dodgers. Go Dodgers. I root for the Dodgers, but I don't think they're there yet this year. I like the Brewers this year.
I like the Brewers. I am stunned. Here I am. I'm picking Dodgers and you're going Brewers. Okay, who's coming out of the American League? What do we have over on that side? You got Blue Jays.
I got Detroit.
You got Yankees. You got Detroit. Okay.
I got Detroit.
Hey, if they get healthy, they're going to be just fine. You got maybe the best pitcher in the business over there. So
yeah, so it's Skubal.
Yeah, but wow.
I like the Yankees too. The Yankees too. But I think that, you know, I think this baseball has changed so much. You know, I think it's not because, you know, but back in the day it was more the high. Obviously, what the Dodgers are doing is the same thing that the Yankees were doing back in the day, right? But I think that with this new stuff, this new school of baseball, it's like you get these kids that are younger, more hungry. It's like, you know, when a big time boxer fights an unknown, you know, these unknown players, they're like, man, like I just hit a home run off you and you get paid $40 million more than I do. Oh, I could do this. So these kids are hungry. These kids are motivated. These guys have this little chip on their shoulders that they want to prove it, not just to the fans, but to the world that, hey, like, hey, it doesn't matter the name on, you know, that these big high profile names. The baseball is played the same way in Japan, Major League Baseball, Puerto Rico, Dominican. It doesn't matter. They're still played. There's still bases. Sometimes who's hot? And those guys are hot right now.
Well, hey, Milwaukee, you can't pick a hotter team than Milwaukee right now. I would say Cleveland over on that side is hot, but I don't know if they can carry that. You know what, Jose? I'm going to do something stupid. I'm going to take the Dodgers for you since you didn't take the Dodgers. And I'm going to sneak the Mariners in there. They're going to do something they've never done. They're going to the series and then they're going to get beat for nothing. But they got there, which will be amazing.
I like that pick. I like the Mariners. That was actually my second pick. And then the third one was the Blue Jays. I think that the mixture of veteran and young guys, but not too veteran, just enough veteranism that they can teach guys that have been there and show these guys how to really play like that. You know, that old school baseball. That taking the extra base, you know, taking pride in catching and not with his pass balls. Like even this whole thing with one knee, just laziness, right? Yes. And I feel like that a lot of these younger kids, you know, are just motivated, you know, motivated just to win. You know what I mean? None of this, like, because you hit a double and now they're, you know, doing all kinds of dances and stuff. Like they don't worry about the dances. They worry about just performing.
Just go
play. You know, and that's what you want. Yeah, let's go play. This isn't like,
well,
and, it's like, oh, we had a conversation the other day. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
I think we had the conversation the other day about how Major League Baseball these days with a lot of these teams is becoming Savannah Banana Baseball.
Yes, it is. It's not good. I know we think it's cute and everything, but it's not the game. That's not how the game is played. It just isn't. It's the Harlem Globetrotters. It's adorable to take your little kids to. It's not baseball.
It's not. And that's where I think a lot of these teams are becoming that, you know what I mean? Where you just, you don't really know what you're going to get yourself into if watching these games. But I like to go there and enjoy a good, solid baseball game where I'm like, man, like this is how you play baseball. None of these dances and bat flips. And just because you touch this guy, now all of a sudden you're going to get in a fight or you get hit by a pitch. That's old school for you, man. Like everybody wants to fight and everybody wants to cry. Yes, I've been hit by a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. Yes, I've been hit by, you know, in the head or in the shin or took one off the, you know, off the hand. Like, yeah, but it's part of baseball.
Yeah.
Part of it, they shake it off, put some tape on it, put some ice on it later, and you're good. Let's go. Let's go back at it again.
Well, and especially at this time of year, because at this time of year, it is that next game mentality. It is that next at bat mentality of this is the playoffs. It is win or be done and go home. It's time to put up or shut up. I think the playoffs are going to be super, super fun this year. I don't know that we have the heavy favorite that everyone's going. It's going to be them. Yep. Like we talked about just now, there's four or five teams on either side that could get hot at the right time, grind at the right time, and actually end up in the series and winning it. Jose, I want to thank you so much for your time. Don't be a stranger. We're going to have you back on the dose again because you've got some insight. You've got a stable of just talented guys playing for you as well. So we're going to have you back. But I appreciate your time. I appreciate the stories. Outstanding work on the dose today. Cannot thank you enough for stopping by and spending some time with us.
No, I appreciate it. You know, Clint, it's blessing in disguise, you know, for taking that flight from Dallas, you know what I mean, your wife and stuff. Like, I didn't know anything, but your wife, you know, appreciate it to Mrs. Daily Dose. Like, this is, it's a blessing in disguise. Like, it's crazy. Come here, Rudy. I got my son here too. He's listening.
Let's get him on the dose.
Good.
Where is this guy at?
He's right here. He's right here. Yeah, I'll put him on the headset. Say what's up, Rudy.
Rudy is officially on the podcast now. Rudy, how are you doing today? Yeah. All right, Rudy, how old are you?
12.
You're 12? And you're playing for your dad?
Yeah.
Okay. He can't hear you now because you have the headphones on. Is he pretty mean to you? Be honest. What do you do? What does he do if say you flip the bat after you have a really good hit? What does he do?
Probably get mad.
Rudy, I want you to keep listening to your dad. He obviously knows exactly what he's doing. Keep working hard, and most importantly, stay after that school stuff. I know it's a necessary evil, but that's the stuff that's going to get you paid later in life. So make sure you stay on top of that school stuff as well. But hey, now you've got your first appearance on the podcast as well. So Rudy, I want to thank you for stopping by. I want to tell your dad, thank you for stopping by. And you guys know that you shouldn't be strangers. You are welcome back anytime, but I appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's my guy right there. He wanted to be on the podcast.
He's getting out of it now.
No, but I appreciate you, Clint. It's always great talking baseball. It's always great, you know, sharing my stories and best advice I can give these youngsters is like, hey, like, don't ever let anybody dictate what you can and cannot do. Absolutely. You know, we all have the same time and just try to take advantage and, you know, keep God first always. You know, I know there's a lot of times that I talk a lot of shit, but God is always above everything. And everybody just needs a little bit of faith and a little bit of guidance to make sure they achieve that goal that they want. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just
yep.
being good kids, being good people, you know, disciplined kids when they're young, turn out to be disciplined young men. So that is probably like the biggest thing that I've always tried to teach these kids that, you know, be good kids, man, be very respectful to your parents. And, you know, cause one day, like all this Daily Dose and Jose Torres is going to be gone. And what do we remember by?
You're right. You're right. No, that is a perfect way to wrap this up and focusing on those life lessons and things that are truly important in life. Not a better way we could wrap this up. Hey, Jose, I want to say thank you so much again. Appreciate your time. Got to come back again sometime, but thank you so much.
Always. Hey, you already know we'll be waiting here in California for you when you come by anytime. Mi casa, su casa, Clint. Tell the missus also, but I appreciate your time also. And let's say, go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that.
Go on. Let's go. Let's go. But hey, Clint, appreciate you. Time to work with the youth right now at 4:30 California time. But, I appreciate you, sir. Let's do this again. Stay blessed. Stay blessed. And we'll be seeing you soon.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will, of course, be keeping you up on all that is going on in the world of sports, including those Major League Baseball playoffs, as well as college football and the NFL and anything else that might take place in the world of sports. So make sure you stop by The Dose next week and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you again to Jose Torres for stopping by The Dose and sharing his unique story with us. We look forward to doing it again. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets, but more than anything, thank you for sharing the shows, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
I play real sports, not trying to be the best at exercising.